I believe you had a relationship month here. And when Luke told me that, I thought, well, maybe we should look at a few principles, relationship principles. The older people don't have to move, okay? It's the youngsters, I want them to move. When we talk about relationships, we need to know how it works. And I love the story. 1996, a group of people went to climb Mount Everest. And they practiced for a long time. They exercised, they made sure they followed the right diet. They're a group of young guys. And halfway to the summit, they realized two guys were part of a group that were on their way down. The rest of the group fell and they died, but two guys survived. So this group of young men were on their way to the top. Now, when you're climbing a mountain, and that's semi your sport, semi your thing, what do? When you get halfway, you've paid a lot of money, you've followed the right diet, and you see two young guys lying there, they're still alive, but you've got a mission in life. What do? Be honest. Yes, but they didn't. They just decided, we paid a lot of money. We've come to reach the summit. We're just going to leave these two young guys. And if they're still alive on the way down, we will help them. But on the way down, they were dead already. And unfortunately, we have to be very honest that in the year of 2016, that's what relationships look like in our lives. We don't stop for the broken and the hurt and the underdog. We just go for the top, our own success, our own image. Am I right? So tonight, I thought let's talk about what relationships should look like according to the Word of God, because I think it's a very important thing to discuss. Now, I don't know about you. Who here is married? I can only see three couples. Oh, they also married. My husband is also married. So when you're married, I don't know if you can remember, Sabit. I wonder if you can remember those stories. But when your girlfriend or boyfriend write you a love letter, you believe everything it says, even if they lie. I promise I will be there 6 o'clock. And you go, he's normally late, but he said he'll come, so he'll come. Am I right? Everything that it said in that letter, you are. Everything he said, you are. You believe that. Why? It's the love of your life. You absolutely believe what it says. Now, tonight, we're going to look at a love letter. Not completely, but halfway, a love letter written to us. It's the Bible. Can somebody tell me, don't put the slide up yet. Can somebody tell me what Bible stands for? Okay, you can put it up. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That is our instruction manual. But unfortunately, we don't use that manual to its full potential. Am I right? So to understand this manual completely, we have to understand that the Bible is for transformation, not for information. If we use the Bible for information, we will be like the group of young men climbing Mount Everest in 1996 on our way to the summit and just leave people half dead, hurt, broken behind. Okay? The Word of God works like a washing machine. 2 years ago, our washing machine broke. A guy came in, he tried to fix it. He says, no, this thing is now really too old. You need to buy a new one. So Mac and I together went to Game. And my instruction to my husband was the following. I said, listen, love, I know how the old one worked. I don't want to read a manual. I don't want to figure it out. I want exactly the same one. If I look at it, I know which buttons to press. So that's exactly what we did. So we bought the machine that looked exactly like the old one. Even the make were the same. Until I pressed the same buttons and it didn't work. So I had to go scratch through my dustbin to find the instruction manual. Because I must know how it works, so I just throw it away. So I had to go scratch through the dustbin, clean everything nicely, read through the instruction manual, how the machine works. I have to read, press the buttons, and then it still didn't work. What do you do then? Oh, that's a good point. You call the man who services the machine. If our instruction manual, the Bible, doesn't give us answers, who do we call? The man who services us. We call the man that says, I need service here. But you know what? I have discovered the most amazing thing about a washing machine. It works as follows. It's got an outlet and an inlet. If the outlet is blocked, the machine doesn't work. If the inlet is blocked, the machine doesn't work. We are exactly the same. If we read the Word of God and our outlet is blocked, we mean nothing to no one around us. But if we also cannot receive input, we still mean nothing to the people around us. If our inlet and outlet is blocked, we're null and void. We zero on a contract. Now, let me tell you, we are, as Christians, like a washing machine. The Holy Spirit is the water that gives moisture. And can you just throw washing powder in a washing machine, put it on, and it cleanses? No. Can you only put water in after you've played rugby and wash it without the soap? No, you cannot, Luke. So the water symbolizes for this practical session, the Holy Spirit. And the washing powder is the Word of God that comes and cleanses us. The one doesn't go with the other. So let's see how these love letters work when we read the love letters in the Bible. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, such love has not fear, because perfect love, No, read it. What does perfect love do? All fear. Do you know when you do something wrong in a school, in high school, they expel you? It means you go, you're not welcome to come back. If the next principal phones your previous school's principal and say, can I admit, Luke Correa in my school, you say, no, he's been expelled. When you expel someone, it closes doors in all other schools for that person. Am I right? Such love, God's love, has not fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. Why do you study hard? You're scared you're going to fail. You have to study, but let's just be honest here. Why did you do when you were in your house with your folks, why did you do what they told you to do? Didn't want to be punished. Why do you give in to peer pressure? Scared that you're going to be rejected, okay? Because we have not yet experienced perfect love. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. When we have lost love, we have to go back to our love letters. Jesus wrote us. We have to go read what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, why do we love Jesus? Very simple. It says, He loved us first, therefore we love Him. Why do you love your parents? Have you ever thought of that? They just love you. And their love draws you back home to their presence where you feel safe. You feel that cozy, nice feeling. Luke tells us this afternoon, his dad, whenever his dad disciplined him, he said, you can be so happy that I love you, because right now I don't like you. Love never goes away. Okay. The amazing thing is, if God promises something, there is no expiry date on His promises. Amazing, eh? No expiry date. It's not a tin of tuna that you have to read when is the expiry date. God says, my mercies are new every morning. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, He doesn't go, does it apply to Luke and Monica? Let me think about this. No. There is no expiry date on anything He says. Okay, so let's look at what it means if the Bible is your instruction manual. I explained to you how the washing machine works. Okay, so tonight is not a sermon. Tonight, I want to remind you what the Word of God says it is. And I did this in my Bible study at the beginning of the year, and it so blessed me that I want to pass it on. Because a seed only multiplies after its own kind. My dad is a farmer. When he plants corn, you won't believe it, but there's not beetroot coming up. I know it's a shocking fact, but it somehow is. A seed only multiplies after its own kind. So what I'm going to try to pass on to you tonight is the following. You know when we go through a hard time, can I borrow you? I'm going to shake you a bit. Guess what? Mark, thanks for being my guinea pig. When we go through a difficult time, do you know what comes out? Everything that's inside of us. All the seed that you have sown in your life comes out when you go through a difficult time. So if Mark goes through a difficult time, and I am life. Okay, that is what life does to us. Thanks, Mark. that is what life does to us. And you know what should come out of us? Holy Spirit. Endurance, patience, faithfulness. Why? Because it's the seed God has put in our lives when we read the Word of God. So, the first point I want to start at tonight. God's Word are like many things, but I want to give you a few. God's word is like seed, and the type of seed you sow determines the harvest. Let's read it in Luke 8, verse 5 to 11. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered across the field, let's say the field is your heart, okay? Say to yourself, every time there's a word field, I'm going to put in Nordine's heart. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across Nordine's heart, some feet fell on a footpath where it stepped on, and the birds ate it. Okay, let's carry on. Other seed fell among rocks. So in your heart, there are rocks. Why are there rocks? Certain parts of your heart, you've hardened. Why does something become hard? You answer that for yourself. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. When I said we're like a washing machine, the water resembles the Holy Spirit. Lack of moisture, lack of Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit in our lives? He comforts. He brings hope. He tells us the truth. He's our advocate. He encourages us. He gives us advice. Okay, so when our heart, we hardened our hearts and it has become like hard as a rock, it means there's no place for the Holy Spirit to come give us advice. He can't be our advocate. He can't remind us of the truth. In other words, the seed that are there grows a little bit. But 3 days from now on, you're just going to carry on as if you're not a Christian. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked. That grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other feet fell on fertile soil. What is fertile soil? Fertile soil is your heart you've prepared. If you've got a field and a farmer, they just don't go and, Oh yeah, we have to plant seed now. They prepare the soil. They make sure that there's no thorns in the soil. They make sure they've plowed the soil. Okay? Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. In other words, if you read the Word of God, because God's Word is like seed, and you receive it with a fertile heart, open heart, yes, Lord, speak to me, let your conviction be upon me, I want to grow spiritually, then God says there will be a harvest 100 times more than which you have spent time in my word. When he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. He says, when you spend time with the Bible, when you spend time in my word, you have the permission to know the secrets of my heart. It's amazing, eh? But I use parables to teach so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't see. When they hear, they won't understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. See, I wasn't lying to you. The word of God is like seed when we read the Bible that brings forth a harvest in our lives. And the very important thing about our hearts will be this. Proverbs says, be careful what is in your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. It's a place you live from. Whatever is in your heart will come from your mouth. Whatever is in your heart, you will speak about. Are you always negative? Are you always critical on other people? Do you always want to tell people, do you always want to come to Luke and tell him how stupid she is and how amazing you are? What is in your heart? Because then the word of God has not fallen on fertile soil in your heart. Do not replace any book with the word of God. Do not replace any movies with the word of God. Do not replace your social life with the word of God, because that's the seed you're going to live from. That is the fountain of life you're going to live from. Then the second thing is, God's word is like rain and snow. Did you know that? You didn't. Thank you for honesty. I love honesty. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farm and bread for the hungry. Hosea, there's a piece in Hosea, the book of Hosea, where Hosea calls out, he says, God, send us rain. Send us rain. Why? One drop of rain has more effect on a plant than 1,000 liters of tap water. Have you seen what nature looks like after rain? It feeds animals, it feeds the plants, it's good for the soil. In the Western Cape, which you are part of, according to my husband, you're more south, east. Yeah. I keep on telling him, you're part of the Western Cape, and he goes, no, just part of it. But we are in the Western Cape. And when it rains, what happens? Our dams get fuller. So when it rains, our dams get filled with water. And water fills communities. It provides water for us to cook, to drink, to water our gardens. So when God sends rain, it's an immediate effect. God says, my word is like snow and like rain. So as a word rain, a rain word, is immediate. There's effect on it. My husband grew up in the Free State, and he used to tell me it will be dry in the Free State. And then it will rain for 2 days, and then everything turns green. Rain comes, the word of God comes, and changes us immediately. But together with that, Isaiah 55 verse 10, it says there's a snow word as well. We used to live for 4 months in Russia. You know how snow works? It falls and it covers the earth. And it's layer upon layer upon layer. doesn't feed the earth. It has no effect on the soil. It just goes darker and colder and grayer until the snow starts melting. Only then it produces something for nature. So God's word says, my word is like snow and like rain. In other words, when you read the Bible, sometimes you will immediately feel, wow, this was amazing. Other times you just read the word, and you go, I really don't know if this works for me. That's the snow word. Now, what happens when we say there are two different types? There's a snow that grows over a longer period of time, and rain that has an immediate effect. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, patiently rebuke, patiently encourage your people with good teaching. The word of God is very clear that we don't have to wait for the rain word to be good to other people, to build relationship, to reach out. Because we so often say, I can't hear the Lord's voice and it's not going well with my quiet time, so I'm not going to go on this outreach. I'm not going to be part of the soup kitchen. I can't. But here God's word says, be ready in season, the rain season, and out of season, which we will know as the snow season. Be ready. Serve people. Love people around you. It says there what you should do when you feel there's God's favor or no favor on your life. He says, carry on. Patiently correct. And that is not like a teacher, you should be doing that. It's like, oh, I can help you with that. I know how to. Can I serve you in that area? Can I show you how it really works? Rebuke is also not a harsh word. The word of God says, speak the truth in love. So rebuke is not, Monica, will you please stop doing that? It's not that. It is speaking the truth in love. Rebuke comes to correct someone and they change, but you keep on supporting them. Encourage people. Isn't it amazing? God says, sometimes you will spend time in my word and it will be, wow, amazing. You will just want to share with all your friends. And other times, months will pass, and you will just go, this is hard, it is effort, somebody needs to pray for me. You identify. And I think this is one of the best parts. God's word is like fire. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Jeremiah 23 verse 29 says, does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord. Now, we all had over the country fires in summer. The fires come and it destroys. It cleanses out. We try to kill the fires because it burns nature away. And after a fire, what do you see? It's just black. We still drive in areas of the eastern in the Western Cape, and it's just black against the mountains. But after the rain, it produces more beautiful flowers. It's green. Fire is good for nature. It brings destruction, but afterwards, it produces something more beautiful. And God's word, God says, when you spend time in my word, you will read your word and you will sit with your secret sin and you think nobody knows about it. And you will read, and all of a sudden, you just feel so convicted. And you will go, I don't know what to do with this, but I can't do this anymore. It's God's word that comes like fire. And he says, I want to burn everything away to produce beautiful flowers, a beautiful garden from your life. And you know what? God comes, and he burns away unforgiveness. You know when you walk and you're so offended with that friend of yours and you think, I will never go to her again, and you start reading the word of God, just 3 months later, you just like, why is this bothering me? Why do I feel I have to forgive her? Why is it? It's God's word that burns like a fire in our hearts, and it cleanses us, and it purifies us. You don't look very excited, but I'm telling you the truth. Isaiah 23 verse 29 says, "Is my word not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" Remember in the beginning we read that our hearts can be rock hard, and then nothing grows in it. This scripture says if your heart is very hard, when you read the word of God, he will come, his word will be like a hammer that smashes it to pieces and open. Because God cannot do anything with a bitter and hardened heart. You know what? When your heart is hardened, harsh words come from your mouth. And that doesn't build relationships. It breaks relationships. So when we start spending time in the Word of God, God says, I will bring a hammer and smashes open your very hard hearts. Why? Can you remember what happened to Moses? God said to him, a rock. He leads his people through the desert, and there's a rock. God says, no, just touch with your stick on this rock. Why? There's water coming from the rock. Our hearts are like that rock. When we harden our hearts toward people and situations, God's word will come and smash it open so that the Holy Spirit can gush forth from our hardened hearts. And it will change us first, but it will affect the people around us most. Don't harden your hearts. But if it is hard, spend time in the Word of God, because he says, my word will change that. Okay, I always joke with the students in Stellenbosch. I say to them, they go, I'm so upset with my mom. My mom did this and that. And now my heart is so hard. Then I say, you know what? Oh, students' favorite saying is this. The enemy came and put a stone in my heart. Then I go, oh, shucks, honey. I need to tell you something. Pretend this is a stone. The enemy stood with the stone. You go, oh, yeah, that's convenient. Now I won't have input from my mother. You put that stone in your own heart. Nobody puts it in there. It's you. That is why we need God's word to smash it open, that it's gentle and soft and receptive. Love all people. Have a heart for all kinds of people, not only your own type. Where you look good. Okay. Then, God's word is like a lamp. This is a well-known one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is there any darkness anywhere in your life? You need to change direction. Because if you walk where you cannot see, where you put your foot, it's because God's word is not the lamp unto your feet. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says you will hear a voice behind you saying, go to the left or go to the right. Most of you are on campus and all the newspapers write and say there's a rape culture breaking out. I want to take it back to the safe path. If I have to walk at night in Stellenbosch, will I take the darkest, shortest road? No. Why not? I cannot see the enemy. I can fall and hurt myself. When we do not spend time in the Word of God, we take the shortest, darkest road where the enemy can attack us and we can fall and get hurt. And you know what happens to us? We blame other people. They raped me. Where were you? See, we live in a time where we don't take responsibility for my stuff. It's my responsibility to spend time with the Word of God. It's not Monica's responsibility to check up with me whether I'm spending time with the Lord. It's no one else's fault if you walk in darkness. Redirect, reposition, get into the Word of God. Okay. The next one is, when we read the Word of God, it builds our faith. So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. we do not, our faith does not get built because Luke shared his testimony here tonight. You cannot go on Luke's recipe, how they did their outreach. Okay? It's only a testimony to encourage us. Did you know that you cannot pray for more faith? Did you know it? Lord, please give me more faith. Faith that I can do this course. Lord, give me more faith that I can save that money. Okay? Faith is not a McDonald's burger. You don't just go into the drive-thru, oh, quickly, 1 minute later. Our faith gets built as we read the Word of God. Why? We measure our lives according to the Word of God, not according to the worldly standards anymore. It's a completely different ratio. Okay? Mark 11, verse 23, it says, when we have faith, we will say unto that mountain, move, and it will move. So it doesn't mean I can ask Francois this morning, sorry. We cannot say to Gerrit, Gerrit, please build me a mountain. I'm going to practice faith now. Mountain move, mountain move. Those mountains are the difficult things in our lives. We do not overcome the difficult things in our lives by turning our backs and say, Mac, can you please speak to the mountain? We spend time in the Word of God and we look at this giant in our lives and we say, I cannot overcome it. And then all of a sudden, something in your heart goes, you're right. Trust God. Spend time in His Word. How should I do this? How should I overcome this mountain? How should I handle the situation? And then you come in front of the mountain, you go, you're nothing for me. I know exactly what to do with you. David says, with my God, I jump over the city walls. High ones. Amazing, eh? God's word, when we read God's word, it gets the seed in our hearts get activated by the Holy Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. How does that happen? We read the Word of God. And then there's a seed. Somebody said to you something, Jesus loves you. Let's take a very stupid example. And you start reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden, Holy Spirit comes and He reminds you, but I love you. I'm on your side. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even if you go through the valley of shadow of death, you will fear no evil. I will set a table for you, and you have a feast with me in the midst of your enemies. All of a sudden, you get reminded of these truths. So when we spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's work gets activated in our lives. And then if I go to Mark and I'm life, and shake him up like a leaf, he goes, I know my God is faithful. I know He will never leave me alone. I know that God will not dump me in darkness. And even if I'm in a dark place now, He will draw me to a place of light. Many years ago, Mac and I were missionaries. Missionary friends of ours came back from China. Yeah. And they shared with us this testimony. They said, they met these two 13-year-old girls that got persecuted. Their parents got killed. Underground church, they're not allowed to be Christians in that part of their country. And they got caught and said, the police said to them, you need to deny Christ. And they said, we're not going to do it. And they took burning oil and threw it over these two 13-year-old girls. And they just kept saying, our God will never leave us and never forsake us. He will never leave us like Daniel in the lion's den. How is that possible? The truth of the Word of God is reality for us in our lives because we spend time with Him in His Word. It's not because they're more amazing than us. They just got more persecuted and therefore spent time, more time in the Word of God. And then, When we spend time in the Word of God, and when we are diligent with our quiet time, I can truly say a Bible in a bad condition speaks of a life in a good condition. When I met my husband, I used to fight with him and say to him, "Your Bible is falling apart." Then he would say to me, "But my life isn't." So I learned this from him. And if I can give you good advice, don't do Bible study on your cell phone. Because the moment a message comes in, you go, "Let me quickly read it. Just quickly. Oh, wait. This is my best friend. Sorry, God. And then you write to her and she writes back. Oh, the hour is over. I'll try to spend time tonight with the Lord." Then God's word is not the light unto our feet. Cannot change our hearts. Holy Spirit cannot get activated to remind us of who He is in our lives. Then we go through the valley of shadow of death and we fear evil if we don't spend time in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to quickly just turn to the person next to you and say, "Holy Spirit has convicted me." You didn't have to hear an audible voice. You just sat in your chair tonight and go, "Oh my goodness, I need to get this right. What is that this?" Share it with the person next to you. What do you need to do in your walk with the Lord, in your quiet time? What do you need to get fixed? How are you going to do it differently from tomorrow morning when you wake up at 5:30 to have quiet time?